when you're so young and in such an early phase, you need people that are willing to kind of muck in and really bought into the mission, that are going to take ownership for their role and go, do you know what? I'm going to make this the best thing it can be. I'm going to at least do my role as best I possibly can. So that willingness to take ownership is definitely something we look for. Some evidence of personal brand as well. You know, we're a personal branding agency, but a big kind of philosophy of mine is that it's very, very easy to look good on an interview for half an hour. I think most people can do that. Most people kind of coming out of uni, or most people that have had a job before, can probably look good on an interview for half an hour. But it's very, very difficult to look good online, for example, for a year straight.
Welcome to the Valuable Podcast, where there is value in every conversation. I'm your host, Victor Sasanya, and today I am joined by Sam Winsbury, founder of Karugo. In this episode, we discuss Sam's experience building a personal brand and how his agency has helped 100 plus entrepreneurs take control of their reputation online. We also discuss the importance of being a doer and not just a talker. First things first, shout out Zencaster, who is the sponsor of this episode and season 2 of the Valuable Podcast. Zencaster is an all-in-one podcasting platform, which I've personally used from day one to record my podcast. So there's no lies told. I know this platform. I record both quality audio and HD video online using Zencaster. So if you want to start a podcast, then you can too, with 30% off your first 3 months. So go to zen.ai/valuable1 and use my promo code Valuable1. Alternatively, just click the link in the description below, then apply the code Valuable1. Zencaster has over 10,000 podcasters like myself in the Creator Network, and they are successfully matching brands and companies with podcasters every day. So even if you're a brand interested in sponsoring this show or running podcast ads to grow your business, go to zen.ai/valuablepod1 and fill out the contact information so Zencaster can help you bring your business dreams to life. Without further ado, let's get straight into this episode. Episode 19 of the Valuable Podcast. I am joined by Sam Winsbury. Welcome, Sam. I'm very, very excited to have you on.
Thank you, Victor. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You know, the truth be told, like, I actually, before sort of reached out to you, I saw you on my LinkedIn for quite a long time. And I remember you kept on popping up. I think these times you're posting quite frequently, if I'm not wrong. And you kept on popping up. I was thinking, like, who's this fella? You're talking about personal branding. I'm actually a big fan of personal branding, which is why I'm really excited to actually have you on. Around 2 years ago, I think in university, that's when I sort of realized the power of sort of personal branding. And I actually tried to build my own personal brand to help with my sort of speaking gig, speaking hobby, speaking career. And I stumbled across your LinkedIn. And one thing that I saw about you, and I think at the time it was Brandy, but we'll get into the change. One thing I saw about you is that you were actually helping CEOs, C-suites, and like high level people build their personal brand. So I mean, I just want to dive straight into it. No time to waste. I know you're a busy man. Do you want to just quickly explain to me sort of like, what is a personal brand?
Yeah, so personal branding, there's loads and loads of different definitions of it. Like, us different people, different things, and I'll explain it in different ways. But I think really what it's about is taking the experience, the expertise, the knowledge, skills, value, personality you do have, and framing it, packaging it in the best way possible, and making that publicly available. So it's not about forging a false representation of yourself. It's about creating a more accurate representation based on the skills, the knowledge that you do have.
Yeah, no, that's good. And so do you think many people like consciously build a personal brand? Is that like, because like you said it's not about forging it, it's about being accurate. So do you think everybody has a personal brand, or is there something that we actually have to intentionally think about and try to go out and build?
Yeah, I'd say everybody has one, because, you know, everybody has a reputation. Everybody has a representation of themselves, particularly online, no matter how small or big it is. Everyone has that, but not enough people. We're seeing more and more people are doing it, but nowhere near enough people are actually taking control of it and actively shaping it. Most people are just kind of leaving it up to other people to decide for them, essentially.
Yeah.
It has become more popular. You're right. More and more people are doing it, but I think there's still millions of people that should be doing it. But
that should be. So when did you sort of latch onto this as like personal branding is actually quite an important thing?
Yeah, do you know, I kind of stumbled into it. So when I was at uni, in my kind of first, second year of university, I was looking for different sort of freelance marketing projects. Just wanted to get a foot in the door in the marketing industry, basically, get a bit of extra cash in the bank whilst I was at uni.
Yeah.
And I was trying everything to like land these freelance gigs. I was trying to look for like things like managing Facebook ads, writing blogs for people, shooting videos. I was trying to get all these projects. I'd go to all these like networking events. I'd do all the networking apps. I'd reach out to people, send people messages. I even sent like videos to people, and none of it really worked. Everyone kind of was like, who the hell are you? No one knew who I was, right? So I was struggling to actually get my foot in the door until I started doing one thing, and I actually started sharing the knowledge, the lessons that I was learning on social media, particularly LinkedIn. And when I started sharing those lessons on LinkedIn, sharing those things I was learning, people actually started reaching out to me for help doing the same. So I built a personal brand without really knowing what it was, what personal branding was, but then I had people reach out to me for help with their personal brand. So I realized, you know, there's something in this, right? There's something in me building up my personal profile. And if I can do it with 1 year's experience and not actually being that great at marketing, imagine what founders, CEOs, directors of big companies that have a lot more experience, imagine what they can do with that. So yeah, that's where the idea was born.
Oh, so it actually came off of you sort of just posting on LinkedIn, did you say?
Yeah, exactly.
What were the sort of things you were posting?
Just like anything around marketing that I was learning or projects that I was working on, if I did have a couple. I studied psychology at uni, and the psychology behind marketing has always been something that really interests me. So a lot of it was around that, different like tips and tricks that people could use, basically. It wasn't overly complicated stuff. It was just, you know, as I learned something, I'd share it, basically.
Well, I still post on LinkedIn quite frequently. I mean, for the LinkedIn users, I see people on my feed post every single day, like every single day. I expect your post to be on my feed at like 9 a.m. I mean, I post around 2-3 times a week, but there was a period of time where I was actually posting. I was trying that sort of everyday sharing my thoughts. Mostly, I think when you're at university, it's sort of a great space, or when you're like a young professional or graduate on LinkedIn, because there's so many things you can share just about you doing life, for example, just about your degree or going through university or getting into this scholarship or this job or this internship. I finished this qualification. You can post that. And like you said, I think subconsciously that helped build sort of my brand. When you first started using LinkedIn, did you sort of compare like the followers metrics to like another platform like Instagram or something? Like, was that anything you watched, like your connections?
Yeah, a little bit. So I've never been that hot on other platforms, but the time I stumbled into LinkedIn, it must have been like 2019, 2020. It was quite a hot period for the platform. Like the organic reach was ridiculous. So it was very, very easy to rack up some pretty big numbers. Even if you weren't like that much of an expert on it. So yeah, I started doing it, and I actually noticed I was getting more out of LinkedIn than like any other platform, which was quite strange at the time, because most people see LinkedIn as just this like corporate platform that people in suits go to network. But yeah, it's actually very, very different now to what it was back in the day.
No, I 100% agree. And like, I still have some people that think LinkedIn is literally, you download LinkedIn to get a job. Like literally, oh, I don't have a job. Instead of going to Job Indeed or something else, let me download LinkedIn and post. But I'm seeing like creatives and lots of pioneers, entrepreneurs, literally on the app building sort of community. And you were one of the early goers, like I mentioned, that I said, after you had some traction on LinkedIn, you had some people message you, ask them to help them, you know, build their personal brand, or at least try to copy what you were doing because you were getting some results. What did you do next?
Yeah. So as soon as that happened, so I coached and consulted kind of individual entrepreneurs, solopreneurs for a little bit, other coaches and consultants mainly, just kind of teaching them how to do it. But as soon as I got into that space, I always kind of knew that I wanted to build an agency that actually worked closer with CEOs and founders of companies. So yeah, after doing that coaching consulting for probably about a year or so, I started building up the agency. Now, I was due to graduate in 2020. Obviously, pandemic hit, and all of my exams over that summer were cancelled literally overnight. So my degree pretty much came to a stop. And I had this almost 6-month like free trial, if you like. It was 6 months where I would have been revising for exams. So I just kind of dedicated that time to really putting the foundations in place for the agency over kind of the spring and summer of 2020. And then from kind of September 2020 onwards, started getting my first few clients. It was just me at the time. Like I called myself an agency. I was a freelancer, but started getting the first few clients in that period, kind of the back end of autumn 2020. And then by, was it spring of 2021, started, incorporated the company. We're officially an agency, started hiring the first couple of people, which was, yeah, super exciting.
No, that's amazing. And you said it like it was sort of just a quick, easy journey. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but even getting on your first few clients, like, what was that process like?
Well, it was, yeah, ridiculously hard. It was hours upon hours of reaching out to people, you know, speaking to lots of people, getting a lot of no's, getting a lot of being ignored a lot of the time. So it definitely took a lot of persistence and resilience, a lot of frustrations with trying to kind of, you know, find, even down to finding the right name for the business. How much do you charge? How much are people willing to pay? Can I get results? All of these kind of questions that you have. And then actually the first significant client that I had, I reached out to him. He didn't reply. And I actually just followed up. I was just like, I'm just going to send him another message. He's already ignored me once, but I'm just going to send another message. And he actually responded to the second one. And then he ended up being a long-term client, referred a lot of other business to me, and actually is probably one of the reasons we're here today. And yeah, we're still very good friends, still working with each other. So yeah, just it kind of shows the power of persisting and, you know, and being resilient.
Yeah, for sure. And he must have, or the client must have, sort of trusted in your services that you're going to provide. So it's hard, right? Because to get a big on client, normally you have some customers or some work to show for. So in this instant, what were you sort of offering this client? Was it like, I'm going to help you scale your views from 10,000 to 1 million? Was it a specific target number? Or was it just sort of, oh, I'll help you become noticed or to sell a specific product or service?
Yeah, it was help you get seen by more people and basically sell more of your stuff, right? So he was a consultant basically, and if I'd gone back again, I would have put specific numbers on it like you did. I would have said, I'll help you 10x your reach or something, or I'll help you increase your followers by 3x, something like that. It would have been more specific, but at the time I literally just said, I'll write 3 posts per week for you on LinkedIn. And he said yeah. So we went ahead, I started writing content for him and just putting that out there on LinkedIn every week.
Oh snap. So you took like the position, so you were posting on his account, or did you just sort of send him sort of the brief?
Yeah, so kind of what we do is we essentially take control of people's accounts and produce all of the content, share it for them. Because the people we work with, right, are super busy. So we essentially take as much work off their hands as possible. And that's how I started for him. He just wanted to offload it to someone. At the time, I was literally in my girlfriend's uni bedroom. And it was in September, I'd given myself 6 more months. I just decided, you know, I've got 6 months worth of money that I can live on, because I didn't have any clients at this stage. Yeah. So I just thought, you know, 6 months, give this a shot. If it doesn't work, I'll get a job. And then shortly after, he became a client, and yeah, we grew pretty quickly from there.
Karuga. So why the name? What did it mean? Does it mean anything particular, or was it just?
Yeah. So Karuga is basically what we rebranded to from Brandly. So same business, but we changed the name of the brand from Brandly to Karuga. And Karuga, what it means is it's taken from a concept in Japanese theater called Karoko, which are essentially stagehands in Japanese theater that wear all black, or they wear the color of the back of the set, basically. And they move, they help kind of the main acts, they move props around the stage, they set up everything. And really their role is to make the actual actors or the main act look good. Right? So they're kind of operating the background, and they wear black or whatever the back of the color of the set is, so that they're not seen. And that kind of symbolizes exactly what we want to be to our clients. We're kind of operating in the background, doing all of these bits for them, organizing their personal brand, moving things around, creating content for them to build their personal brand and essentially make them look as good as possible. But we don't want to be known. We don't want to be kind of seen. We don't want to be noticed while we're doing it. Okay. So it really nicely just captures exactly what we want to be to our clients.
Okay. No, that's actually a really good, really nice name with meaning. And I'm just curious, for yourself, some of the tips, the tricks, what you use to build your clients' personal brand, do you use it for yourself, or is there?
Yeah, all of them. So I'm like the guinea pig of our personal brand strategy.
You just test on your personal brand.
Test everything on myself, and then what works gets translated into client strategies, what doesn't make it down to the clients. So it's quite nice being the guinea pig sometimes.
Yeah. So what strategies would you recommend? So we have some people listening. We want to actually go out and make a decision. Let's build my personal brand. I probably already have one, but I can do much more to put out there what I'm about, what I do or what I sell if I'm running some sort of business. So what would you recommend to start with?
Yeah, the first thing to start with is where you want to go. So what kind of reputation do you want to build? What do you want to be known for? If you thought ahead to a year's time or 5 years' time, even 10 years' time, how would you want people to describe you? If someone asked, you know, if you asked me, how would you describe yourself? Have an idea of an ideal sentence, if you like, that you'd want me to say. And what that's going to do is it's going to give you kind of, again, the end goal or the end reputation that you want to build, and you can start to reverse engineer everything that you need to do in order to get there. So once you've got that end reputation you want to build, you can start thinking about, right, if I want to be known for this and I want people to think this about me, what do I need to start talking about? What sort of things could I post about online that are going to get me there? Maybe it's a case of, you know, I want to be a thought leader in marketing. I'd love to be one of the leaders in marketing. People come to me for marketing advice and they see me as a leader in that space. Well, then you know that you need to start talking about the state of the marketing industry. You need to start giving advice to other businesses around how they can market themselves. You need to probably think about what the future of marketing looks like. If you're going to be a leader, you need to know what the future looks like. So you can essentially start thinking about all of these different things. You can also consider, you know, if I want to get to this end goal, what sort of personality traits or characteristics do I want to be seen to have? Do I want to be seen as quite empathetic? Do I want to be seen as trustworthy? Do I want to be seen as really authentic and honest? So first thing to do is just start with that end goal, because then you can work back and think about everything that you need to do now in order to get there. For most people, what that's going to look like in terms of the steps you can take to actually getting there, easiest thing you can do is just share your thoughts online, share content online. This podcast, great form of content. It might be a podcast, it might be a blog, it might be social media content. Just start getting your knowledge and your thoughts and your kind of your personal story even out there online, sharing it with other people to see. Because what's going to happen when you do that is you're almost going to start building up this trail or this footprint of content, which is going to, every time you put a piece out, you're almost taking one step closer to that end positioning goal that you're looking to reach.
Yeah, that's all good. And another question I had was, so do you think this is available for extroverts and introverts? Because I mean, would it be an issue? Can introverts build great personal brands if they weren't that confident? They didn't want to get in front of the camera and post stuff. Of course, you mentioned blogs and other things like that. Is that sort of just the avenue that they should take?
Yeah. So I'm a massive introvert. I've always been really introverted. I'm not like even throughout uni, I wasn't kind of that outgoing in social situations or anything. And when I first started sharing content, it was really uncomfortable putting yourself out there. And it's going to be for everyone, even for a lot of extroverts, it can be super uncomfortable. But the one, this sounds really counterintuitive, but the one thing that got me through it was just doing it, just almost going through the pain a couple of times.
Yeah.
But then once you've done that 10 times, suddenly it's not as bad. Then once you've done it 100 times, you can fire out a piece of content without even thinking about it. So yeah, I'd say start small just to get the ball rolling. You know, don't jump in and think you have to build a YouTube channel if you're an introvert. Maybe just share, you know, one text post on LinkedIn or write one blog. Start really, really small and just kind of push that comfort zone a little bit, you know, each and every week. And eventually you get to a stage where no matter how introverted you are, you're happy just putting stuff out there.
Wow, no, that's good. So if you're listening, if you feel like you're introverted, you can't really start, you heard it from Sam and you're hearing it from me, just get started. And I think it's sort of the practice, like you said, it's not overnight. I actually, a funny story, I'm not sure if you see my Instagram page, it's a bit different from my LinkedIn page, but I started posting quotes, right, on Instagram, and they weren't even my own quotes. So I think this was 2017, maybe Instagram was like, everybody posts those quotes. I'm sure you know, like just quotes about entrepreneurship, about mindset, about money, about all of these different things. And all I done for like a couple of months, I just used a story post. So I think at this point in time, I had zero posts on my actual feed, but I used to just story post quotes. And I started posting them on my actual feed. Then I started posting pictures and whereabouts where I was going. So similar to yourself, I used to go to networking events. I used to try to go out there, put myself out there, basically. And I was really sort of passionate because I ran a clothing business back in the day. So after that ended, I really wanted to start something up again. And I really wanted to go out and create something. Kind of like you said, it's this fulfillment from building something from nothing, like from scratch. And that's exactly what I had. So I used to post on Instagram my whereabouts and I started to create like a feed shape, quote, picture, 4, 5 years on now, still have the same sort of outlay. And it's something so subtle and so niche, but through that, I've been able to express my journey. Like you said, my personal story, I've been able to express what I think. So instead of reposting quotes, I started to make my own, so I'm going to call it source quotes because my surname is the sign. I started to make my own quotes, my own thoughts. And you see people liking it. So they're tapping into, like, this is, I could be laying down on my bed just, and literally just post on Instagram. And that sort of natural feeling. And it's not like scripted. It's not post on Wednesday, 10 a.m., this comment or anything like that. It's literally just putting myself out there. And I feel like it's actually really helped me build that personal brand because people are buying into me. Mm. People are buying into my story. People are buying into my journey. And I'm quite open. So I let people, so if, like, for example, creating this podcast, I feel like it's a journey. I let people in. I have like a group of supporters who are supporting it. They'll push it. They'll share it. So sort of, I think another tip is just when you're building your personal brand, sort of let your community, let people in, let people in to help you. Cause at the end of the day, those are the people that's going to promote you. I think there's a book, by Seth Godin called Tribes. I don't know if you've read it, yeah. But he talks about how we should build tribes, and a tribe is built from connecting to other people, and it's like a leader has an idea, and someone connects to that leader, helps them with that idea, and someone's connected to that person connected, and you sort of build a tribe, and everybody's passionate about the same thing. So like you said, when you wanted to hire for Karugo, you're looking at those who want to get stuck in, sort of drive, sort of passionate about the vision. And that's just what I can see in my head comes from, one, a great leader with an idea that kind of knows where he's going, which you reiterate, you have that vision, and two, the idea of, you know, personal brand and community around it as well. So I think if you're listening, you're building something, don't, you know, look over community in this day and age, because from what I see, everyone wants to build a community. Like, people, we're human beings, right? We love connecting, we love being part of something. And yeah, so it's just so exciting for you to see and share that with us as well. So I really, really do appreciate that.
Yeah, I love that. Community is literally rooted in human evolutionary history, right? We needed community to survive. So yeah, spot on about building. I love to think of it as creating a utopia as well. So a utopia is like an ideal world that you want to create. So to you, what would the dream world look like? It might just be around your specific kind of niche area, but what does the dream world that you're looking to create look like? And then you can get people that are really, really bought into creating that with you. And that's another great way to build that tribe, build that community that are all bought into one thing. So,
I mean, at this age that you are now, is that sort of the long-term vision? Are you just continuing to grow with this sort of business, or are you looking to venture into other things? Or
yeah, so main aim at the moment is to become the go-to personal branding agency globally. So still got huge ambitions for the business and growing it, and I imagine I'll be involved for the foreseeable future. But I've always been an entrepreneur. I think I always will be. I really want to start projects in the future. So yeah, I think I'll definitely be in this world. But right now the focus is definitely on Karugo as it is now. I think it's important to remember as well that a lot of people think it's come out of uni and build a business and be successful. People forget that behind that there's a failed freelance marketer. I tried to build a freelance platform, no one used it. I tried to write psychology blogs, nobody read them. So there's kind of like 3-4 years of failed projects that nobody really sees. But then all of the lessons from those are things I've learned, kind of laid the foundations for making the personal branding agency a success. So yeah, that's quite interesting. But no, I think I'll definitely always always be entrepreneurial.
Yeah, no, no. And I think you made a great point, because honestly, like, most people don't actually talk about that. And like, I wouldn't know everything you done behind closed doors. Like, for example, to be honest, what anything I would know is sort of if you posted it online. And a lot of the groundwork or things that happen in family life or whatever we do all the time is not posted sort of online. So if we were to even take it back, when did it sort of start for you? Like, because who wakes up and says, let's start a freelancer platform to connect people studying psychology at university? I'm trying to add it up, and I know you're a massive, or you know, football player as well. So I'm just trying to tie all of these things together. So when you were young, if you were just to, you know, kick it back to, you know, young boy, what was it that you thought that you wanted to do?
Yeah, so there were all sorts of things I wanted to do throughout my like childhood. Like, I'd flick every year between wanting to be a physio, a football player, a rugby player, a psychologist, a banker, whatever. I'd switch between all these different things. And then when I was in my A-levels, psychology was the thing at A-levels that I was interested in at that time. And I started writing a psychology blog alongside my A-levels because they didn't teach it at my school. And I was like, I want to learn this. So I started writing the blog really to teach myself. And that was like the first spark of entrepreneurialism, if you like, was actually writing this blog, or at least kind of going through the process of putting this website together, writing articles every week.
Okay.
And as soon as I got into that, it was just this idea of like building something from nothing that really, really excited me. Just taking absolute, like, there's nothing there to start with, and you've built this idea or this project from scratch, and people, you know, it might benefit people. That kind of concept really excited me. And that's really been the motivation behind everything since. It's just wanting to create something from nothing.
Mm. And I feel like in order to do that, though, you should have a level of sort of execution.
Being able to execute quickly is like a really, really important trait. I think the faster you can move, the better. Everyone's got ideas. Everyone's got hundreds of ideas that they want to do. But it's actually the ones that move forward and make them happen that tend to get the most success or tend to progress faster. So yeah, I think the attitude has got to be, you know, so what if it fails? Let's give it a go. You know, move fast, fail fast, and learn from it. That definitely helped, which is being willing to put stuff in action.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like I've probably, sounds like I'm repetitive because I've said this before, and I've said it, I will say it again, in the sense that we actually have so many ideas, but there's the difference between those who can execute and those who don't is sort of the results that show. And I feel like most entrepreneurs or most people who we look at and we congratulate them doing amazing things is like they just have a habit of doing. Like, I'm sure, like, if you wake up today, what's on your mind? Like, are you just have to do this, have to do that, or how do you go about planning that day?
Yeah, so the way I plan stuff is it's long-term thinking with short-term action. So, you know, I know exactly where I want to be in 1 year's time, and probably now even in 3 years' time as well. I've planned recently, so I've got this like long-term goal, and then I break that down into, so 90-day, I kind of work in 90-day sprints, if you like.
Okay.
90-day periods where I think, right, in order to get to where I want to be in the future, what can I do over the next 90 days? And you essentially reverse engineer everything that you need to do on each month, each week, each day, each hour, based on where you're looking to go. And I know that if I follow those steps, I'll get to that end point. So I've got this kind of, always have these end goals that you're looking to get to, but you can essentially just break them down and down and down into actionable steps that actually, when you've broken them down enough and put them into 2-hour slots in your calendar, it's very easy to take action on them because you know exactly mm-hmm. what you have to do. It's not like you have this massive project where you're thinking, well, where the hell do I start on this? It's just a really simple task that you just do on repeat, and everything's kind of laid out.
Yeah. It's sort of like starting with the end in mind. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, exactly.
You have the goal ahead, then you sort of track back, break it down into smaller goals. And that's sort of the process that you use at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And of all of the most successful people we've worked with, I'm fortunate enough to work with some ridiculously successful people. And if I think about one of the common traits that all of them have, is that they're all just remarkably good at getting stuff done. They make stuff happen. Whatever it is, they'll just get it done. And I think it's such an important trait of valuable people, basically.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about valuable people. I love that. No, but what do you think makes you valuable to your clients, the people that you work with day in and day out? Because there are a few other, you know, agencies that I've seen that do similar work to yourselves, helping people build their personal brands. More importantly, sort of these high profile individuals. So why are you chosen to work with?
I think it starts off quite simple, being able to do something they can't. So we can do something that they can't very, very well, which is why they look for a personal branding agency in the first place. And then it comes down to why us over other people, or even in some cases, why other people over us? And really, I think it's around the whole philosophy around personal branding, or the approach that people take. Ours is quite practical. So we always tie the personal brand to the wider business objectives. We never see personal branding as like an ego booster or anything that's self-indulgent. It is really a strategic play for their business or their career or their life. And we're very, very practical about, right, what are the actual goals that you want to get out of this. We're very goal-driven. So it never feels kind of, yeah, too self-indulgent, I think, is the way of putting it, or too egotistical. There's always this end kind of practical result from it, which is where we focus. I think that's been the reason why a lot of people have chosen us. If we look at our clients, that's kind of generally the reason, or the type of client we attract, is people that are trying to be quite practical.
I was just thinking in terms of the agency side of things, because I try to digest information and make sure that we're not just skipping over like complex concepts, because not everybody knows what an agency is and sort of how they are built and they're run. So could you quickly just break that down for me in terms, what is an agency? And if you look into your market, like, what are other firms trying to do to compete with you? How do you outcompete like other brands?
So an agency, general kind of overview of an agency, is a business that provides service to others, essentially. It's a service-based business. So whereas Apple, right, they provide a bit of a service, but their core business is around a product. Agencies focus much more on delivering service, typically to other businesses. So what we do is we help other businesses by providing essentially hours, resources, and knowledge strategy to them. So that's kind of the core of what an agency is. And in terms of the space and the kind of competition, if you like, that's going on in the space, obviously our agency specifically is around helping people build personal brands. There are a couple of other agencies that do that. But in how you outcompete people, I think it really, business can be simplified a lot. A lot of people overcomplicate business, but business and running a business, running an agency, is just about an exchange of value. So let's say you've got the client and the agency. The client gives the agency a set amount of money for a desired return, a desired kind of amount of value in return. And that might be in the form of new clients, for example, coming into their business.
Yeah.
Or new customers. So it's really just an exchange of money for value in some other form. And the way to win at this is, if you provide more value to people than you're charging in your price, you'll have a successful business. It's that simple. Business really can be boiled down to provide more value than you charge. And chances are you're going to be successful. If you want to take it a step further, provide more value than any of your competitors are charging. And then you're kind of the no-brainer within the industry. So I like to simplify into those terms and focus on providing as much value as you possibly can for the amount that you're charging people.
Just to quickly follow up on that. So how do you stay consistent in providing value? Because I believe that you need to continually build your skill set. So are you continually learning about personal branding, or have you sort of just learned it and you're just providing value? Like, how do you actually make sure that you're staying in a position to keep on providing value despite market conditions or anything like that?
Yeah. So part of it is in having systems and processes in place that allow you to deliver that value on a consistent basis week after week. And the other part, as you rightly said, is constantly upskilling yourself and learning. And that's something myself and the rest of the team are really, really focused on each and every week, is how can we improve? You know, really thinking about what the future of personal branding looks like, or thinking about how we can develop our skills that we're offering to clients. But even Fridays, for example, I set out an hour a day or so to learn every single day. And what we have on Fridays in the company is a set period of time where the team can just dedicate it to developing themselves. They literally have 2-3 hours just set aside for them to learn and develop. So there's that time every single week that we can improve. And that might just be a 1% improvement each week. But when you add that up over time, the results are insane.
Yeah, no, that's good. Wow. I mean, your company culture is very attractive, I'm sure. Are you hiring at all?
Constantly hiring.
Oh, really? So what does it take? What type of people do you hire to build this business?
Yeah, so what we've looked at previously is we're still an early stage company. Like, we're quite young. We're three people at the start of the year. We're now recording in August. We're 15. So we've grown quite quickly. And as such a young business, the main thing we've really looked for is people that we can trust to really take ownership of their role and help us almost drag this company to where we want to be. Right? We're hugely ambitious, but I think when you're so young and in such an early phase, you need people that are willing to kind of muck in and really bought into the mission, that are going to take ownership for their role and go, do you know what? I'm going to make this the best thing it can be. I'm going to at least do my role as best I possibly can. So that willingness to take ownership is definitely something we look for. Some evidence of personal brand as well. You know, we're a personal branding agency, but a big kind of philosophy of mine is that it's very, very easy to look good on an interview for half an hour. I think most people can do that. Most people kind of coming out of uni, or most people that have had a job before, can probably look good on an interview for half an hour. But it's very, very difficult to look good online, for example, for a year straight. So one thing we always look for is, you know, are these people engaging in any other projects? Have they got some kind of self-motivation or taking a responsibility on themselves to develop themselves or do something extra? This would be like a great example, like a podcast, right? If someone had applied and they've been running a podcast for a year, that's a really good indication to us that they're ambitious, that they're taking the time to develop their careers. And for me, that's much more convincing than someone that looks good for half an hour just on an interview.
That's actually really good. I never really thought about that, because it's sort of like when you're dating someone, you present your best self, and it's quite easy to do that because you know exactly sort of what they expect of you, who they're looking for a company. They put out their job description, so you kind of know this is what they're looking for. So you mold yourself into that perfect candidate. But personal brand is quite difficult, and I feel like a lot of people don't really latch on it, but the generation and the society we're growing up in, we have a lot of micro creators and content creators. So people are like myself, podcast hobby fun, and we are creating content and we are putting it out there, but it is, like you said, it's something different, and it shows, especially if you're doing this with full-time education, full-time job, it shows that you have some skills that are quite valuable, that are really valuable, to be honest, if you wanted to put it cut plain and simple, that you can balance the two. And so that's something you look for when you're out on the hunt hiring.
Exactly. And just the mindset as well, you know, the mindset of someone that takes it into their own hands and says, do you know what, I'm not just going to settle for having a degree, for example. I'm actually going to write this blog, or I'm going to engage in these projects on the side. Just that mindset of someone that's just willing to do that is a really good sign. And actually probably even more valuable than the skill itself. It's just having someone that kind of has that a culture fit with the company and the ambition that we have.
No, that's perfect. And I feel like it's more easier said than done. Like, the mindset, come with the mindset, we'll hire you. But how do you build that? Like, what is that mindset? How do you build that practically?
Yeah, so I think biggest thing is just start. Like, just start engaging in a project. It's not going to be for everyone. It's, as you said, it's very, very easy to say this, and it's not going to be right for everyone to just start a podcast, right? For example, it's not going to be, it won't fit some people's mindsets. It won't fit some people's skills. It won't quite be right for them. But I think it's in a case of kind of just immersing yourself in lots of different experiences and seeing what sticks for you. You know, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks, right? Try lots of different things and find out what is the one that really kind of inspires you, or that you enjoy or lights you up, and just double down on that. Because if you enjoy it, if it's something that you're really passionate about, it's going to be a lot easier to stick at and to do longer term, rather than something that you're just going to give up within a few weeks.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. I mean, you have quite a few different passions, right? So you still play football?
Yeah. Fingers, maybe.
Maybe. Oh, no. I'm not meant to expose that.
I'm at a crossroads whether I continue playing football or focus on the business. So kind of, I've still played a lot of football up until now, but we'll see with how hectic the business gets over the next few months. But yeah, I love my sport, love football, learned a lot from sport, played football, rugby, cricket growing up, fan of music as well. Yeah.
You listen to a couple rap tunes. Well, so I'm curious to know, so where did you sort of grow up? What was your upbringing like?
Yeah, so I grew up in a tiny village in the Sussex countryside. So very, very, quite a peaceful upbringing, at least for the first kind of 10 years of my life. You know, you couldn't really ask for anything more. Just in this very, very quiet village. I then went to a school, so a secondary school that I went to, really interesting school, actually. It was a school, so it was a boarding school where they took people who were very intelligent or had showing, you know, great signs of being intelligent or going places. But they basically, it was a private school, but they charged your fees based on your parents' income. So it was based on a charitable model, and they were essentially allowing people to come into the schools. Whereas a lot of other private schools around the country, you've got to kind of, you know, if you can't meet the 30K a year fee or whatever it is, you can't go to them. The school that I went to operated on this charitable system where you'd essentially have people paying for kind of disadvantaged kids to attend. So it was a really interesting experience because you were surrounded for your secondary school years with people that were kind of at the highest end of society, if you like, and we're literally paying that 30 grand a year fee all the way through down to people that have, you know, grown up with nothing on council estates. And you have this kind of massive contrast, but everyone is also one and the same. So it's actually an amazing environment for kind of meeting people of different backgrounds and growing up with a diverse range of people, which was amazing. And again, something I learned a lot from coming out of a village in the Sussex countryside where everyone was kind of very much the same. You know, everyone had similar kind of financial status, grew up in a similar way, coming to this school where everyone was different. It's really eye-opening and something I'm so glad I was able to experience.
That must have been quite an experience, and you're able to build your social capital with like different friends. Do you still stay in touch with some of your secondary school friends, or did it fade out when you went to uni?
There's still a few that I keep in touch with frequently.
And I think I remember looking at some of your old football photos, and it linked you back to your school. And I had the uniform was quite particular. I couldn't pick. I was trying to picture Sam from the personal brand, the LinkedIn that I see back in today's days, and I'm like, wow, must have went through a transition.
Yeah, you went deep into your roots. The uniform was crazy. It was a Tudor uniform, so we didn't wear the typical blazers. We wore like long coats, yellow socks, these little shirts with these, we called them bands, little white things that kind of came out the top of your shirt. It was crazy. When we went for sports fixtures at other schools, we got, you know, everyone would laugh at us.
But you're here now, so it must have been a great journey. And in terms of university, I think you touched on it already. You studied psychology, and was that 3 years then?
Yeah, psychology, 3 years.
And
Birmingham.
Oh, at Birmingham. Oh, so you weren't too far from me, actually. I was in Warwick, but of course, COVID years at home and whatnot. So did you end up finishing the degree then after sort of they cancelled exams for 6 months? And
yeah, so it was March. I was due to do 4 exams over the summer, and then when the pandemic hit in March, they just cancelled the exams, replaced the 4 exams with one piece of coursework, 1,000-word essay. I was like, thank you very much. I will take that. It's not all bad. I will take it. But yeah, it's still wrapped up fine. It was literally just kind of no exams, and they just took, I think they took the second year grade and part of the third year one as well. So it didn't really affect me too much, fortunately.
No, that's amazing. I think you got a first class, if I'm right.
Yeah.
Amazing. And is there any sort of pivotal communities that you're part of, or was there a mentor that's played a role in your life?
Yeah, I've had kind of mentors and guides throughout the journey, but I've also been really fortunate to kind of, when I was starting off in the early days, there are a few other people starting off as well. And the more you post, the more you start building your personal brand, the more you're exposed to these people. And now we've kind of gone through this process where we all started at the same time, where we were kind of just freelancing out of our uni bedrooms. And now a lot of us are running our own businesses, and we've kind of gone through that whole process together, which is really, really nice. And there's a bond with those people through that kind of that community that we've built. But yeah, it's powerful.
I can say similar from graduating. I sort of have friends that I grew up with, went to university with, and we're all sort of starting jobs all around, literally dotted around the city, dotted around the city. And I know that in the future, I'll look back on this episode and I'll think, wow, so fortunate and grateful that I kept with this community, because it's good to grow. But when you're growing with other people who are doing the same thing as you, you sort of help each other and sort of opens those doors.
Yeah. Yeah. Spot on.
So 2022, this year has actually gone by. I remember I used to start off the podcast sort of, what's your 2022 goals? And now we're entering August. It's like, I can't even use that line anymore. Sort of, yes. we're nearing the end of the year. So have you made good on any of your New Year resolutions? Or
yeah, we're on track. We're on track for all of them, which is nice. Particularly business-wise, it's been a manic few months, and it definitely came with its challenges, but we're in a good place now, and you're right, the year is flying by. So I'm glad we're on track and we're not lagging behind, because it feels like it's just gone by in a flash.
Well, honestly. And I just want to quickly ask you a last question before we wrap this up. And that's just sort of the epitome of this podcast. We make this podcast, or I should I say, and the people who I won't name drop because they want to work behind the scenes, but they do help me sort of produce this podcast, and we just care about value and that value exchange you were talking about. So for you, what does it mean, like, to be, I know you've sort of mentioned this or answered this quite briefly, but what does it mean to be a man of value for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think someone that delivers more than they ask for in return is what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. So always being willing to give and give more than you ask for. If you can make 10 gives before you make an ask, then that's a good indication that you're valuable.
Wow. Sweet, short, simple, but effective. give and you shall receive. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming on. Listen, where can they find you if they want to connect with you and learn more about your story and potentially join your team, Karugo?
Yeah. So best place for that, if you want to follow along the journey, is on LinkedIn. I'm at Sam G. Winsbury on LinkedIn. I share content every single day about sharing my journey and some of the advice that I have that I'm learning along the way. And then if you want to go into a little bit more detail, you can head over to my website, samwinsbury.co.uk, where I share, again, more in-depth and kind of more personal stories around the business and where we're at, and some guidance on there as well.
You've heard. Thank you so much for coming on the Valuable Podcast. I've personally enjoyed it. Time went quite quickly again. I'm so like, when my guests speak, when you speak, I'm sort of thinking and just digesting information, because I always like to sort of take, it's kind of selfish, right? I want to take information, see how I can apply it first. But I remember, I have to actually post produce this and and let other people get in on the gems. But I really do appreciate you coming on, and I'll be following you, watching you, because I'm sure you will take off, and the value that you're providing on LinkedIn to your clients and to your business and on this podcast is really, really appreciated. So once again, thank you for coming on.
Top man. Thank you, Victor. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, make sure to give it a 5-star rating and leave a review. Alternatively, you can send us a DM on Instagram at Valuable Podcast and sign up to our newsletter at valuablepodcast.com. Remember, increase the value you provide and you'll rise in due time.